Hello, all you beautiful internet people. I'm Matt Martinez, and we're back with Back Pocket Entertainment. We hope you enjoy this episode of the podcast. It's a very special one, but before we get to today's content, I'd like to give a few shout-outs. Very special thanks to Nechama Fryer over at soultien.tumblr.com. They were nice enough to provide the artwork that you see on the webpage. Also serves as the tattoo of our special guest, who I will introduce shortly. I'll also put the links to their contact information in the post today as well. Also, if you get a chance, please check out our proud sponsors and supporters page up top. In you'll find some cool stuff there. Big shout out to Jennifer Oswin Holmes, who runs a small boutique called Allison Underwear, all your geek apparel. You can find there on Facebook. I'll also put a link to that. But as we move on into the main content of the episode, it's an exciting one. I have a very special guest, Kim Howell, Thor expert. She came on to regale us with tales of wonder and awe, and we proceeded to talk for about 6 hours. So rather than try to pick and choose the best moments, this episode is just going to be part one of an epic saga, where we talk all about Thor, Loki, comic books, movies, even get political for a little bit in the middle there. So the next few weeks are going to be devoted to these episodes, and this is part one of the Thor saga. We are burdened with glorious purpose. And today we have a special show for you. It's all Thor, all the time. We're going to put the hammer down, people. And with me is Thor expert Kim Howell. Say hello.
Hi.
Also with me is my sister and sidekick, Samantha.
Hello.
Sit down, goodness gracious.
I'll be back.
Okay, so basically, the Thor trailer erupted online, and I started getting really, really passionate posts from my good friend Kim, who I've known for a while, and she knows pretty much everything about Thor, so I thought, let's do a Thor-themed show.
I don't know if I know everything, but...
Everything. So, a little history to start things off. Thor, obviously God of Thunder of Norse mythology, was co-opted by Marvel Comics, and according to Wikipedia... He appeared first in Journey into Mystery number 83 in 1962, and was the Wikipedia page says created by Stan Lee, but I think the ancient Norse had something to do with it first. What was your first experience with Thor, Kim?
Well, I guess going back, it turns out that I was like that right age in the 90s where I watched all of those classic Marvel cartoons.
Nice.
And I never really connected it as an adult because I got sucked into anime and manga like everybody in college. And then I saw that, Iron Man came out and I went and saw it. And somehow, like in the back of my brain, I was able to turn to a friend and go, if this does really well, I bet you they're going to do an Avengers movie. And my friend was like, how do you even know what the Avengers are? And I'm like, it's cartoons back in the 90s. I can't believe I remember this. So I watched all of the Marvel movies as they came out, and I really enjoyed them. And then at the end of Iron Man 2, when they go to New Mexico and there's Mjolnir sitting in the desert, I, like, lost it. Because I'm a huge fan of mythology. And I never really read any Thor, specifically, like, Marvel Thor stuff. But I'm a huge fan of, like, Norse mythology. And I knew what it was, and I was like, oh my god, this is going to be awesome. So I got really excited for when the movie came out, and then of course then I finally saw the movie and proceeded to like cry my eyes out for 2 hours and immediately was hooked and had to read everything that there possibly ever was concerning Thor in the Marvel Universe.
Nice.
And so we are today. Hopelessly obsessed.
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. And you're also a big fan of his brother Loki as well.
I am.
Now, was that strictly because of Tom Hiddleston's performance, or had you liked him previously?
I mean, well, the character of Loki in Norse mythology is probably the most interesting god they have. He's kind of an interesting not so much every man, but looking at him from like a modern perspective, he's the most modern of all of their gods. And he appeals to me kind of as like the outsider and the guy who's too smart for his own good and like causing trouble. And, you know, he's a really interesting character. And then the way they handled him in the movie was so well, because he's incredibly sympathetic and you understand where he's coming from. You feel awful for him. At the same time, you kind of want to shake him and scream at him and punch him in the face, you know? So it definitely helped. I actually really like Loki a lot in the comics, too. They're kind of two very different takes on the same character. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that Marvel is balancing that really well right now.
Now he seems a very almost... he's compulsive, but believes he's doing the right thing for a twisted reason at the same time. Like, it's almost like he can't help himself.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's convinced that this thing that he wants will make everything better once he has it, only that's so not the case, and he goes about it in the absolute worst way possible.
Right. Now, his interpersonal relationship with Thor, if, like, basically what it sounds like is, you know, one could, like, empathize with Loki because, you know, he's tortured, he has no place, and all he wants to do is fit in, but he just fucks it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that contrast with Thor, the, you know, upright, you know, I'm ruler of all type, you know, how does that interplay?
Well, it's interesting because I actually was talking to somebody last night online about this, because they were confused about a Loki comic they had read, and were like, it's, like, thought, well, Thor's so harsh in this comic. I thought that, you know, he actually is sympathetic towards Loki a bit. And the person said, I find that really interesting when the hero actually kind of can understand where their villain is coming from. And my response to them was, actually, Thor's in a really interesting place because he absolutely, 100% outright, actually loves Loki. He considers him his brother, and it can be argued, and pretty easily argued, actually, that Loki is the most important person in Thor's life. So... It's an interesting position because Thor loves his brother, you know, like explicitly loves his brother, but at the same time he can't trust him and he can't forget all the absolutely horrible things that Loki has done to him over the course of their lives. But he keeps forgiving him.
it is the definition of an abusive cycle relationship.
It is like an abusive codependent relationship. Like neither one knows how to quit the other. And it just keeps going in this horrible, vicious cycle of abuse and reconciliation and abuse and reconciliation. But I think it's actually one of the most noble things about Thor is the fact that his heart is so big that he can repeatedly forgive somebody who stabs him in the back over and over again because he loves them just that much.
Now, that came out a little bit in the first movie. Mm-hmm. That's my primary influence of Thor, is that first Thor movie. Now, is that how he started in the comics? You know, like very arrogant, and then kind of grew into that compassionate, like.
The comics are a little bit different than the movie. The movie streamlined things a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The comic starts with Thor having already been banished to Earth by Odin for being super arrogant and pretty much a douchebag.
Gotcha.
And Thor is banished to Earth in a mortal form. A doctor, actually, named Donald Blake. Who, if you watch the movie, there's a little giggle because Jane Foster's ex-boyfriend was Donald Blake. a doctor. So he's been living on Earth not realizing that he is, in fact, Thor, the God of Thunder, banished to Earth. He's just a doctor, does his thing. He's actually crippled in one leg.
Hmm.
So not only is Thor living as a human, he's living as a crippled human, so he's really learning what it's like to be humble. You know?
Okay.
You know, and during the 60s, when civil rights weren't quite as,
right.
You know, ableism was rampant, you know.
Right.
And then eventually he feels this calling towards this mysterious cave wherein he picks up this magic stick. It's actually Mjolnir. Mjolnir was calling to him. Thor was ready to come back to the world.
Oh, okay.
So he regains his memories as Thor, and then for quite a long time, Thor and Donald Blake are two separate identities, kind of sharing the one body. Donald can only turn into Thor when he's holding Mjolnir. If you take Mjolnir away from Donald, mm-hmm. after a minute, he turns back into Donald Blake.
Oh.
Old school villains really like to try to exploit this weakness that Thor had. And then eventually over time, they split Thor and Donald permanently. So Thor is his own person once more, and Donald is his own person.
Now, does Thor retain the memories of Donald Blake?
Yes.
Is that why he has such, you know, deep love of humanity?
Yes.
He lived, okay.
Yes, Thor does retain all of his memories, and he's actually, I mean, he technically has all the knowledge of a medical doctor. Like a really good surgeon. And then Donald is kind of an interesting character that they haven't played around. They played around him a little bit recently, but not too much, where he knows that he's kind of like this fictional construct that was created through magic, and he doesn't have any memories past, you know, what Thor experienced on Earth, and he's got some issues. But yeah, so Thor in the comics now is unleashed Thor, God of Thunder, full gotcha. Powers, can't stop him.
Now in the comics, I know in Norse mythology, Thor is married to the lady Sif. The goddess Sif.
The goddess Sif, lady from the movie. Who is actually a goddess of the harvest in mythology, not a goddess of war.
Well, that's funny because Thor, I read, is actually one of his, apart from being the god of thunder, he's also looked at too as a fertility
god. Yes, he is.
As well, so that's interesting.
The rains bring good crops, bring the harvest, he's married to Sif.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Now, speaking to that duality, I know in the comics there was a point where Sif and Jane Foster, they had that same duality that Donald Blake and Thor had at one point, didn't they?
No.
They did not? Okay, no, I misread that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why would I have been misinformed like that?
Did you get off
Wikipedia? I probably did.
Well, it's like 50 years of comics canon to pick through.
That's true.
He's been around for a while. No, Jane starts off as Donald Blake's nurse.
Take two. So my recording equipment cut out at about the 9-minute mark, but we went on talking for about another 20 minutes about how awesome Thor is. And so you missed some amazing stories with great drama and passion, which we will try to recreate for you now.
And you heard not one word from me.
Jane starts off at the beginning of Thor and Journey to Mystery 83 as Donald Blake's nurse. And that's kind of her role. In the comics, she is a nurse, not a astrophysicist. I guess they decided that Jane needed...
feminist makeover?
I guess. even though a nurse is a perfectly valid career choice.
Oh, absolutely.
But I guess it made more sense in the context of the way they were bringing Thor to Earth in the movie to make her not be a nurse. But yeah, she's Donald Blake's nurse who has like a crush on Donald. And then eventually develops feelings for Thor because you know, he's so big and strong and powerful and attractive and what have you. And he's
of course.
Always saving her from a bad guy. she's still around in the comics, actually. I believe they're going to be bringing her back as kind of a more major character in the next run of Thor, God of Thunder.
Nice.
But she lives outside of Asgard in Oklahoma and she works as a nurse.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, now the relationship between Loki and Thor has always been a very volatile one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously there's elements of, you know, he's standing in Thor's shadow and Thor's always the favorite son and this and that. Is that part of his, I don't know, pathos, I guess, is that I'm just adopted, I'm not good, you know what I mean? Is that part of it?
Part of it. In the comics, Loki's always known that he was adopted. In fact, Loki engineers his own adoption. He decides that he's not going to waste his life on Jotunheim. He wants bigger and better things, and in order to achieve that, he must go to Asgard and manages to fool Odin into adopting him, pretty much. And then grows up with Thor, kind of as, you know, best friends, siblings, who have, like, a cute boyish antagonism, like, you know, brothers tend to do. But it does fester as he gets older, and Loki doesn't kind of grow up to be the paragon of Asgardian manliness the way Thor does. In Norse mythology, you'll find it, and Marvel has continued it as well in their Asgard. Magic is seen as a feminine trait. It's only women wield magic. That's why you'll find all of the villains who are magic wielders in the Thor universe are women, like Amora or Lorelei or Carnilla. So for Loki to be a master of magic, that's basically them going, well, you're not really a man. And therein lies a lot of Loki's issues. is not being seen as the, as a worthy male in regards to society. You know, there's a deleted scene in the movie where Thor kind of makes a comment, and I'm sure to Thor, it's just friendly, brotherly ribbering where he's like, you know, he's like, oh, you just use your tricks to get us, you know, your magic tricks, you know, which always makes me think of freaking Arrested Development. They're not tricks, they're illusions. you know, but to Loki, like, you know, thousands of years of that kind of microaggression builds, snowballs. But yeah, so in the comics, it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's a magic user. He's, you know, he's not very straightforward. He's kind of sneaky. Uses his brain more than brawn. And those are all kind of seen as cowardly.
Interesting.
Yeah, whereas, you know, Thor hits things really hard. And it's not that Thor is stupid. He's actually pretty perceptive. You know, he just kind of has a very straightforward, blunt approach to things. And he's known for his strength. And that's things that people look up to. You know, and Thor is very charismatic. And so people are naturally drawn to him. Not so much Loki.
Again, that would give anyone a complex.
Yeah. So a lot of it's him reading into things. Like, you know, and assigning... ulterior motives where none lie, especially with Thor.
With Loki, it always seems to me he has this thing about him where he, for whatever reason, he honestly believes he's doing the right thing at the time, but in a very compulsive, like, I didn't think this all the way through kind of way.
Yeah, he comes up with these really complex schemes to make things happen.
Right.
But then, you know, like, they always kind of break down at the end because Loki himself is incredibly emotional and impulsive. And he's very... Actually, one of the things that Thor and Loki both share in common is they're actually both very self-centered people. so Loki can only see... Loki has trouble seeing beyond himself. Like, he's like, I'm doing the right thing right now at this point in time. That's the right thing for me. You know what I mean?
He believes his selfish ambition is actually the right thing for everyone.
Yes. Okay. And Thor kind of has that problem, too. Like, Thor's feelings and beliefs are more important than anybody else's. So, you know, kind of at the heart of their problem, and one of the main things is Loki will never stop reading into what Thor says, and Thor will never read between the lines to hear what Loki isn't saying.
Gotcha.
You know, and that kind of...
That perfect interplay of drama.
So, you know, so Thor gets blindsided in the movie, like, you know, I thought things were fun, I love my brother, we were going to Jotunheim, we were having fun, and then out of nowhere, I hate you, Thor, you've ruined my life. What did I do?
I should be king.
What did I do?
Father doesn't love you.
So there is that. But yeah, so imagine that though over like thousands and thousands of years, because we're actually not sure how old Thor and Loki are in the comics because they're gods who are immortal and constantly are involved in this cycle of death and rebirth. So they've been around for who knows how long.
So is that actually, because in the movie they show them as kids, so how does an immortal actually grow up? Is there a cap at which they age?
In the mythology, all of the Aesir, the Norse gods, are immortal thanks to the golden apples of Idun, which are these magic apples that this one goddess grows. They must eat them, or they will start to age and eventually die. It's kind of interesting. The Norse pantheon is really the only pantheon that I've ever read about who actively know how they're going to die and are aware of their own mortality. It makes them all very fatalistic and kind of hardcore, you know? it's kind of touched on in the comics, like, you know, like they need the apples to survive over time, but it's really never brought up all that often. So it's the way I view it is they will age to a certain point, kind of like young adulthood.
Okay.
And then they'll remain in that young adulthood for eons of time. And then eventually they do age to like become older. Like Odin is viewed as like an old man, so who knows how old Odin is. And then there are comics that touch upon Thor as an old man as well. So this is like millions and millions of years in the future, I assume. But yeah, so Loki's problem is he's got all this shit coming at him like that over thousands of years. And there's just no respite to it. So it's his own personal hang-ups feeding into what people say, which make his own personal hang-ups worse. And then the fact that... And then eventually decides that... Fuck y'all. This is what I'm going to do. and kind of cuts loose and becomes a villain. And he's kind of toyed with that, you know, he's the god of chaos, so...
Basically the Joker with powers.
Yeah. So he's, you know, he's toed that line about, you know, if I'm the villain all the time, then I'm pretty predictable, aren't I? So there's always that potential for Loki to do really good things and kind of help Thor when needed. Because as horrible as the relationship is, they're still brothers, they still care about each other. Even if, you know, you have to, like, torture Loki unto death to get him to admit it, sort of thing.
But like you said before, he is the most important person in Thor's life.
And Thor is the most important person in his life. So he's kind of always walking that line about will he or won't he in terms of what's going to go down with Loki.
Now, in comics, currently Loki is a teenage boy.
Yes.
Called back from...
The dead.
The dead. And he seems to, like, at all times having, like, you know... 20 different schemes going at the same time. Now, you never quite know which side he actually wants to win, other than, you know, his, like, he I think he states, as long, this is all for Thor, but, like, none of these sides going at each other seem like they want what's in Thor's best interest, so whose side is he on? But he's playing them all against each other, like, what... Is it possible to get inside Loki's head? Does he have one true ambition other than, I love my brother?
Well, I mean, I guess you could kind of say that, you know, his real ambition is to somehow find validation. I mean, he'll claim it's to kill Thor and to take over Asgard and be the king. He thinks that once he gets this, he will feel good about himself. His self-esteem will be affirmed and everything will be great and rosy in Loki's world. Of course, we all really know that that's probably not the case. In fact, there's a really good alternate universe comic called, which is still Thor and Loki Blood Brothers, which is a 4-issue limited series, which actually takes that thing. It happens. Loki defeats the Asgardian army, defeats Thor, bam, he is king of Asgard. What happens now?
Oh, wow.
And it's a really, really good comic. Has awesome artwork by Issa Rubik, and really good writing. It's also incredibly depressing. but he, like, you know, that I think that's Loki's secret goal, is he wants to just be, you know, loved and have that affirmation that he is good just the way he is. Like, you know, he is worthy just being Loki. But you would probably have written at that. But, you know, at any given point in time, you know, like, if Nick Fury's secrets have secrets, then Loki's motivation, like, Loki's ulterior motives have ulterior motives.
Now, is it ever established what Loki was doing while Thor was a human on Earth? Because he spent enough, I mean, because I think we said before, Thor's love of humanity comes from being that split personality for so long with Donald.
Yes.
Like, do they establish what Loki was doing during the entire time?
Yes, it's really funny. It's really awful, but it's really funny. Loki was punished by Odin for being a little shit by being trapped in a tree. And Odin declared that until someone sheds a tear for Loki, he will remain trapped in that tree.
Oh, wow.
So then it, like, journeyed to mystery, I think 84 or 83. Loki manages to shake the tree from the inside to have a leaf get loose. That it hits Heimdall in the eye, and he starts tearing up. So, bam, Loki is free from the tree.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, his first impulse is, well, if Thor's on Earth, I better go down and ruin his life, because I've been trapped in this tree and I'm angry.
Wow.
Loki has some really creative punishments in the comics.
It is a very... very weird, codependent, abusive relationship they have. It's... Like, I would imagine Thor and Loki have a huge fan base in the LGBT community. They basically run the spectrum of everything that, like, there's elements of BDSM and bondage and all the way to the sweet and cuddly vanilla stuff and everything in between.
I don't know specifically about the LGBT community, but I can tell you that Loki has an especially devoted female fan following. There is something about Tom Hiddleston's portrayal of him that really struck a chord with all the ladies. You know, probably the tortured...
I'm raising my hand
tortured,
here, I'm just saying.
Tortured, conflicted bad boy, you know?
Well, you have a special relationship with Loki. You were saying about when he finds out he's adopted.
I saw Thor because I was excited about seeing it, and I was like, oh yeah, Norse mythology. This looks really cool. I'm like, all of the Marvel movies have been pretty awesome. And like halfway through the movie, there's like this adoption drama, and I'm like, oh my! I literally burst into tears. Like, oh, wow. I mean, not only is the scene like brilliantly acted by Tom Hiddleston and Anthony Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm adopted. I found out I was adopted when I was 18, so it's... Wow. So I was like, I do know how you feel about suddenly having to reevaluate, like, your entire life, you know? And I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting to cry watching this movie. And then I kind of just kept crying till the end. It was pretty bad. Because I actually kind of understand both of their points of view. Mm. Like, I get why Loki is so hurt and damaged. At the same time, I also really empathize with Thor a lot because I understand what it's like to have kind of a toxic relationship with a sibling who you still care about.
Mm-hmm.
And to love somebody who is very hard to love and who doesn't especially treat you well. It's it's so there, I find them both very sympathetic, just personally from my own experience. But
now you have actually met Chris Hemsworth.
I have. Possibly the greatest day of my life.
And you almost, you kind of endeared him to you and then almost insulted him at the same time throughout the course of a photo shoot and
Q&A panel. I have no, like, brain-to-mouth filter when I get really excited about, like, the things that come out of my mouth, you know. And I have no shame most of the time. So, you know, the day starts off, I got there at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning, so I was so excited. And I wore my Kid Loki cosplay because I figured, hey, what better chance to get my picture with Thor in my Loki costume than today? I mean, yeah, I couldn't pass that up. So I did. And the first thing was the autograph, and they said that you could only have one autograph, there was no personalization, they wanted to get as many people through as possible. And, of course, I really was going to try and not do that. And so I, you know, used the big sad puppy dog eyes on him because he's actually like really super sweet in person. And I was like, could you please sign these two? And so I got three autographs out of him, and then he personalized them because he's like, what's your name? And I was like, Kim. You know? And then I think he laughed a little because he actually got his start playing a character named Kim on Home and Away.
You had him wrapped around your little finger.
You
should have said, here's Michael Telke.
even more so, the character's name was Kim Hyde, so he was a Kim H. Such a connection.
I know!
So he signed, actually one of the things he signed for me was a print that one of my friends did of Thor. She's an illustrator and artist.
Nice.
And I got to tell Nahama that her artwork was Chris Hemsworth approved. Because he was like, is this me? And I was like, yeah. He was like, it's beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. Give your friend a plug.
Yeah. Nahama Fryer. You can find her at solshin.tumblr.com. But yeah, so I got the autograph. And the next thing was the picture. And so waiting in line. And I'm chatting with people in line. And surrounded, weirdly enough, by a bunch of like middle-aged men. And I was like, I was expecting more ladies. You know? But I finally had my chance to go see him, and he turns, he's like, I don't know, in like the Australian accent, which I will do an absolutely terrible impersonation of right now. He's like, oh, your costume's really cute. And I was like, and then he's like, it's Loki, right? And I was like, yeah, thank you. And I turned like beet red and my ears were on fire and I just couldn't speak for like 10. I was
phlegmed. Hero approves of me.
I was phlegmed. So then he like grabbed me by the shoulder and like yanked me in for like the picture, man. I was expected to be manhandled, but I was, and I was okay with that. But he's like a gigantic teddy bear. Gives very solid, firm hugs.
I just look at him and I want him to hold me and tell me everything's gonna be okay.
I do. I have like these weird feelings about Thor. It's like, you know, like weird maternal / sexual feeling. Like I want to like hold this giant Norse god in my arms and tell him everything would be all right. Possibly bake him cookies and then, you know,
make love all day.
Yeah. You know. But then and
I
then
feel
he,
you.
Yeah, and then he had a Q&A panel, which was really fun. He was actually really engaging, really funny. And a child actually asked him, "Does Thor have any other brothers who wanted to take over the world, and he was like, I really don't know, I haven't really read the comics a lot, does anybody else know? And of course, I, with my loud mouth, I'm like screaming, Baldur, Baldur! and he's like, that's right, Baldur, he's his half-brother, and I go, Baldur is Odin's legitimate son! To which Chris Hemsworth goes, oh, yeah, like me, wait, you mean I'm not? And then out of my mouth comes, sorry, Thor's a bastard.
Dun, dun, dun. What an epic cliffhanger to leave this episode on. Thank you all for joining us on episode one of the Thor saga here at Back Pocket Entertainment. Tune in next week where more of the dark secrets of Thor are revealed. Thanks for listening, and until next time, I think we're out of chips.
Please hang up and try again.